Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. Back from an extended holiday break. My name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And we are back having a wonderful, hope you had a wonderful holiday like we did. Ray, we had a big reveal from Games Workshop, and just as expected, it disappointed.
Yeah, the, what do they call it, the New Year's Open, which was 2 days after New Year's Day.
Who's counting? Who needs calendars at this point? We're showing off models.
That most of you have seen months ago.
Yeah, well, it was kind of lame. So this was almost like, again, I swear they listened to the podcast and go, hey, last couple times we threw these guys a bone. This time we're going to stick it to them. And we got stuck real good. So if you're into War, Sigmar, yay, you're getting another book for models that have come out.
Yeah, it's their biggest reveal really was that they're getting their first campaign book for their newest version of the system. Everything else was, hey, you remember these models we talked about a month ago? Here they are. They're still not coming out just yet, but here they are.
So my favorite, and Jim Vessel's probably laughing his head off, yet more Warcry. Yay. Still don't have more plastic aspect warriors, but that's okay. Warcry. Awesome. Then we get to the 40K stuff. Brace yourselves. This was monumental. More Sisters of Battle.
Well, again, we knew what they were coming.
We've seen already. Yeah, I know, but we've seen these already.
We knew they were coming. We've seen them already. Big surprise. We didn't know they were coming this fast. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I myself didn't expect them until February.
I don't know how, really didn't know when you... they were... Yeah.
At one point they said the first quarter, but that's, you know, that's January, February, March. You know, you got a 90-day window, roughly about 12 to 15 weeks. Didn't expect them week two.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise. And also a little disappointed that the pre-order went up today, and it's just the Retributors and the basic Battle Sisters. So right now I'm looking at pictures of Archal Flagellants. No idea when those are coming out. Seraphim, no idea when they're coming out. And, oh my God, I still cannot stand this new Penitent Engine. I guess there's some new variant of it. Interesting. Okay. And then they're also coming out with a terrain piece. So if Celestine didn't piss you off enough for getting it back up and down, they now made a statue of it so you can put it on your battlefield.
I think I like the way that the statue is equipped more than the actual model itself.
Yeah. Actually, I also like it a lot better than what was the Honor Imperium guys, those statues. Those were kind of
Space Marines.
Yeah, they're a little lacking in detail. The new ones that came out for the Kill Team terrain, those things are awesome, but they don't sell them individually. But so, yeah, this looks pretty cool. So, yeah, you get a terrain piece that serves no purpose on the battlefield, as far as we can tell. So it was like, okay, yay, more of that. And then this, oh my God, this created such a tizzy at our local game store. We have a new Xenos model. Ray, what did we get?
It's Shadow Sun in a much more dynamic pose. Not the Ghost Kill. I saw at least one person online think that she was in.
Not quite.
But
so yeah, it's definitely a new pose. Definitely, it's not the fan art pose. I still like my conversion better. But this does look pretty cool. And it's interesting in the description. And it kind of indicates that she may have also gotten a new data slate, but that was not released in this. For example, she says her newly upgunned battle suit now comes equipped as a standard with an arsenal of weapons from a flechette launcher to a light missile pod. So I don't remember any of those being options for her in the past. And a choice of tank-busting high-energy fusion blasters or Space Marine melting dispersed fusion blasters. So I can't, because that's what she had before, two fusion blasters. So I don't know if those are separate weapon modes or those are separate weapons. I have no idea. And she still gets the two drones that come with her, which are pretty nasty. So the tizzy that this created, not it was, oh my God, what an awesome model. It's for some reason, everybody who was expecting the Dark Angel, Thousand Sun, Psychic Awakenings book, thought they got bumped from the schedule. So they're putting the Tau one out now. Like, no, they're just showing off a model. And sure enough, it just says, will be released later. So still don't know anything else about the next book. Don't know when this is coming out. We're assuming for the greater good might be the Tau book, but...
So fun fact, this was the only actual new model shown the whole time.
Yeah.
That's it. Everything else has already been shown before. Other than that, it's here's a book and then another AOS teaser for more elves.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, I am thoroughly confused. So you took the bold move to blow up your universe and reinvent it. And now you're going, well, we could have kept that.
So they've always been keeping some of the models, especially some of the newest stuff. But the thing is they kept certain characters from the old world and turned them into, for lack of a better word, gods, including the High Elf twins, Tyrion and Teclas. And the whole idea is in AOS, the twins and Malekith, who they renamed for copyright purposes, and what's her name? Morathi. They actually capture Slaanesh and basically poke a hole in it and pull out Elf Soul because, you know.
Spiritual pinata.
Yeah. Actually, yes. And each one's Can basically.
Falling to the ground.
They basically split these souls that they've released X amount of ways. And we see what's been done with Morathi's. And we've already seen what's been done with Teclas, with what Teclas did with at least a certain amount of his. Which is the deepkin, you know, the underwater elves.
Oh yeah, and they're like half baked, right? That was the whole problem. They weren't quite done.
Well, some of them don't have whole souls apparently, and they need to basically be psychic vampires and feed off the souls of others. It's very close to dark elf, the Drukhari, really. And I thought it was very funny because we're talking about someone who was a high elf in the old world. So apparently Teclas started over, and whatever's coming out are going to be his again.
Again.
Yeah,
do it again.
Couldn't even move Nailed to it. One of the other high, you know, elf leaders. Let's do Teclas again.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that they're doing new stuff because I like that game. It does. I find enjoyment in that game that I don't quite find in 40K. But sometimes I can't help but question like this.
I just think it's funny that Teclas is now a god, considering that in competitive play he was on the ban list for most of the time they still had Warhammer Fantasy. But okay. All right. So yeah. So hopefully some new stuff coming out soon. So we'll see if anything comes out from there. Couple rumors here and there. So one thing that was a bit of a stir we posted on our Facebook page. I admit I was one of those. I'll put it up there. If it's fake, we'll kind of get a good laugh out of it. But the Primaris Lancebeater and the Primaris bikes and a very, very blurry was, you know, not just blurry like it was a, you know, surveillance photo. It was quite clear. It was pixelated on purpose. So was it real? Was it not? That's the big question.
I think either way, they didn't feel the need to release the official picture. In the end, they could be just having some fun.
Could be. Who knows? Or somebody else is having fun. But
yeah. In the end, I think if it is real, we might see it with LVO, because I do believe they're going to be doing some sort of a reveal this year, too.
That's true. That is true. Last year, they showed off the new Obliterators. So that'd be kind of cool to see. And then the other interesting point was at this New Year's Day open event, I guess that's the name of it, a couple of people cornered some of the Games Workshop design team. And they're like going, hey, what gives? You had the elf book, but you did have Harlequins. And I guess this person confirmed Harlequins will be appearing in another Psychic Awakenings book. So they will get an update with their own splash of rules.
Which, I mean, I knew was going to happen, but everybody was like, oh my God, doom and gloom.
Well, we have breaking news here at the Exterminatus podcast. You've heard it here first. The new rule is that all Harlequin units get the legend status.
Oh God, be careful saying that. Someone might actually believe you.
Yeah, no kidding. Your codex has been invalidated. Welcome to Squat Land.
Population, Eric.
But yeah, exactly. The sad part is, I just picked up all... Yeah. And how many of your Harlequins did I just pick up from you in a trade? Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah. Be careful what you say.
But it's interesting. We're kind of, now we're going to go completely off the rails here on speculation. If you were to be on the design team, what would you add to the Harlequins? Because everything I think of, like conversions and stuff, oh, that'd be cool. But I'm like, does it really fit with their lore? I don't, you know, I see a lot of Harlequin Wraith Knights. I just have a tough time believing it's a super heavy that's agile and tumbly. That doesn't.
Honestly, two things. Any of their leaders on a bike. Just have them be the person's sitting back seat. And a flyer. You know, you could just be a very bare bones flyer.
Yeah. Kind of like, oh, yeah. When is the ad back flyer coming out? That disappeared in a hurry.
No, that'll probably come out whenever they get their book for Psychic Week. I guarantee you part of the reason that they're doing these books is to help with the models, because they have to have the models. The models take longer than the book, really.
Yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't be too surprised if AdMech get addressed at least partly in one of the next couple books. You know, not, obviously not the Ritual of the Damned. We know who's going to be in that one. But Greater Good, Saga of the Beast, one of those two. Again, there's no reason to ever suspect that it's just going to be two factions at this point. It could be as small. It could be as small as two. It could be as many as four or five in one of these books. I think it really just
depends. Speaking of which, the latest book, which had all the Chaos ones in there, the FAQ dropped on that. So pick that up. A couple subtle changes, nothing extraordinary, but
yeah, that one and the Blood of Ball was another one that got FAQ.
Yep, he said Lamarty's got Black Rage back.
They did a little bit of clarification, a
couple tweaks there,
but nothing major, at least that I saw.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
The big finale to the 2019-2020 ITC season is mere weeks away. That's right, the LVO Las Vegas Open at Bally. Some key dates to put into your timer. So right off the bat, if you're listening to us, you can be free to upload your list. And if you are listening to us, you've got you've got 7 days to upload your list. That's January 13th, midnight Pacific time. You need to upload your list for the event. Failure to do so, you will start the event with a yellow card. It also has to be in the correct format. And then BCP did come out with some upgrades to their app, so it should make it a little bit easier to upload all that. If you do have a problem with your list, you have until the 16th to fix it. And if you don't do it by that date, you will incur a second yellow card. Not a real good way to start the event.
Oh, and just to be clear, anybody who's listening to this, because this is probably going out on the 9th or the 10th, you've only got a couple days.
Yeah. So finalize that list and get going. So there you are. Cutoff for new rules will be January 11th. So basically, unless something's coming out by the time you hear this podcast, all the psychic waking events that are already out will be included, and any of the new stuff will not. Other key things, it's still following the ITC format. No major changes to the mission format. Still use the ITC code of conduct. And starting day two, players with undefeated records will be required to use a chess clock. My advice, though, is always bring a chess clock with you. Oh, nothing's worse than, let's just hang out. It's round six. None of us are playing for anything. And like, I got two turns. You suck.
Yeah, that's not fun.
So it'll be the usual players will participate through rounds 1 through 6. At the end of the 6th round, the players ranked 1 through 4 will automatically seed the finals, which will occur on Sunday. We'll talk about that in a second. Players ranked 5 through 12 will play in a qualification round Saturday night, and the winners of that go on to play in the finals. And then the finals is 1 through 8. They'll be seeded just like in sports. And it's a single elimination format. Oh, I also bank your plans accordingly. The event does start on Friday. Round one starts at 10 o'clock. Painting and judging starts at 8 o'clock Friday morning. So unless you live locally, you might want to plan on traveling on Thursday.
Huh.
No major. Yeah, kind of early. But it was actually kind of nice to get there a little early and settle in. All models must have painted to a three-color tournament standard as defined by the IDC guidelines, as well as abide by model guidelines regarding proxies. Models do not meet this minimum requirement will be removed from the table by the judge, even if that means it occurs in the middle of a game. So that's a big thing. Your army must be fully painted and based to the standards that presented the hobby well. Non-Games Workshop models cannot be used on stream. I just want to double check that. If in doubt, send pictures of your army in advance. You must use the dice we provide. You must be willing, able to play any or all your final games live on stream. So that's one thing that's kind of rough, because there's some really cool third-party stuff out there. And sorry, not an option if you plan on being on stream. And then the last place they went over, I don't know, this created another big uproar. I don't know why. But your detachments had to be distinguishable. And everybody freaked out and didn't understand what that meant. And long story short is, if you have an unpainted army, nothing's more annoying than, okay, which half is the Ultramarines and which half is the White Scars again? Should be able to tell them apart.
Yeah, and that doesn't really take much to do. I mean, that could be something as simple as having the sides of the bases be painted a certain color. And I saw something about like someone selling these things that could kind of sit on the base.
They actually click on it. Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah, they're called squad markers, I think. They're actually pretty cool. Yeah, they click onto the base, kind of like a pressure mount. The one thing that they are not allowing, guess what players used to do in previous events, is colored rubber bands. So you didn't.
Yeah, we've talked about that here before.
Oh, have we? Sorry. That's what happens when you go on a break for the holidays. little Alzheimer's for Christmas there. So cool. I just got a little forgetful. I couldn't remember if we talked about that or not. So, yeah. So those rules are still in place, still creating a bit of an uproar, but big deal. Yeah. I plan on painting the sides of my bases. I'm going to have some fun to add to the appeal. So, but there you go. That is all your competitive updates and news from the past few weeks. Crazy exciting stuff, I know, especially if you play Warcry. But after the break, we will get into your tournaments. Yes, there were some tournaments last weekend. We'll get into those details right after this break. Hey there, Eric from the Exterminatus podcast, and I'm talking to all you tournament organizers out there. Do you have an event coming up? Now, naturally, we talk about all those GT and major level events coming up throughout week to week, but we usually do it after the fact. If you want to talk about your event ahead of time to get some more people to come to your event, this is your opportunity. We are opening up our ad space for some lucky TOs to, you know, let us know about your event. Give us a minute to talk about what makes your event special and glow about your event, so drive some like-minded competitive 40K players to your particular area. Hit us up on our Facebook page for more details, and we'd love to support your local community. So here our way of giving back to tournament organizers throughout the world. Only your friends here at the Exterminatus podcast. Welcome back after the break, and our first event brings us to Warhammer 40K. I totally messed up that name. Yeah, Warhammer 40K DEF CON. Somewhere in Sweden. I've totally butchered the name of this, but either way, they got close to 60 players arrive for this event, so that's pretty cool. So, Ray, who are our top five for this event?
All right, in fifth place, we had Menelik Eriksson. He played Chaos. Johan Norman played Adeptus Astartes. Daniel Hesselberg played Imperial Fists. Rickard Nilsson played Adeptus Mechanicus. And Par Highlander played Adeptus Astartes.
I find it curious that all these people in Sweden, none of them are playing Space Wolves. All right, so apparently PCP did a update. So the cool part is the list format is much easier to read. So I'm very excited about this. So Par came in first place with Adeptus Astartes. What does that look like? Looks something like this. He opens up with a spearhead detachment of Raven Successor Chapter, featuring long-range marksman and stealthy. So he's got a captain on a bike. Wait a minute. Is that still legal? I'll have to double check. I thought that was a Legends model.
It's possible that they allowed Legends.
It's possible. And he upgraded him to a Chapter Master. So he got Chapter Master on Bike and 3 Thunderfire cannons. Then he took an auxiliary detachment featuring Raven Guard successor once again, the same we talked about before. And he took a chaplain, a lieutenant. This looks more like a battalion. Why does it say? That is really weird. It is a battalion. Strange. Sorry. Sorry, I'm getting used to this new format. Sorry about that, guys. It's got a chaplain, a lieutenant, one interceptor squad, 2 scout squads, and 3. Ugh. This is gross. 3 Centurion assault squads with flamers and hurricane bolters. Oh, that's brutal. Followed by, in the heavy support slot, a Centurion Devastator squad, all with Grav. A Devastator squad, all with Grav. Followed by a second Devastator squad, all with Grav. It's a lot like the list I played on Friday night. Just absolutely brutal. Interesting. Yeah, this... All those characters, especially the Chapter Master on bike, gives him the maneuverability to sit there and allows him to reroll all that stuff. So all your little minus ones to hit that you counted on for so much of 8th edition just goes out the window. And they've just got an oppressive amount of firepower. Best way, though, I found to beat this is wrap them up. It's hard to do with the flamers, but once you get in, you can stick it to them, and all of a sudden they're... The list kind of bogs down a little bit. Just got to do it early enough so you don't fall. All right. Where's our next event to?
Next one is Huzzah Hobbies one of the, Gamer more, in the New Year.
In the Virginia area, it's right. A lot of the Nova guys play there. It's a long-standing tradition, quality store. So what does our top 5 look like there?
In 5th place, Philip Hellig playing Iron Hands. In 4th, Mark Hertel playing Adeptus Mechanicus. In 3rd, Stephen Christopher Chuckman playing Sawtech. 2nd, Matt Shushman playing Asuriani.
How's about that?
Ah, thank you.
I saw one of the funny names. He came in 11th.
And first, Scott Horace. Andrew Gagneau playing
Imperium. His nickname is Scott Horace Heresy. So that's pretty awesome. So Andrew's list, the winning list for this particular event, starts off with Adeptus Auroratus Battalion. We were just talking about the lovely new models that came out. We were so excited. He has a Conviction of Valorous Heart. I have to look up what that does. He's got a Canonist and Celestine, and then he's got 1, 2, 3 Battle Sister squads, 1 unit of 10, 1 unit of 7 with various heavy weapons, and another unit of 7. God, this is actually harder to read than it looks. Mostly Stormbolters, so he's keeping them mobile. Then he's got a Magnifier, which I think is one of their crazy little tanks. And then he's got 3 Seraphim squads of 7, each with 2 Infernal Pistols. Then a second detachment is a Vanguard detachment, Order of Conviction of the Bloody Rose. It features a Missionary, 2 Hospitallers, and a Zephyrim squad. And then last but not least, a Spearhead Detachment of Space Marines. Iron Hand Successor Chapters featuring Master Artisans and Hardened. Oh, interesting. Awarded, excuse me. He's got 3 Venerable Chaplains. Ugh, Dreadnoughts. That's just wrong. A Mortis Dreadnought and 3 Thunderhire Cannons. He's got the twin las cannons on all those venerable dreadnoughts. Yay! I was all excited, ready to take those things on, and then I reread the rules real quick. They all have like 8 or 9 wounds so in their characters, so they can hide behind the sisters so they can't get shot. This is so not nice. I'm just like, oh man. Yay! Yeah, poison! Whoopee! 4 up. I don't care if you're the toughness 1. I'm wounding you on a 4. Yay!
Yeah, what are you worried about? You all have right. Venom weapons.
Where are we going to next?
Or poison one.
A lovely Toledo, Ohio. Used to work for a company based out of there. So spent much time in Toledo. Who are our top five in this particular event?
All right. Next up is the Glass City GT. In fifth place is Thomas Ogden playing Raven Guard. Fourth is Bill Kim playing Adeptus Astartes.
Third, absolutely, there's actually Kramer quite a Doyle few notable names also showing up for this event. So nice and to second, see
Ryan Snyder playing
Adeptus Astartes. Alan PJ Pants coming
first,
in sixth.
Brad Aaron Chester Along coming playing in Raptors. Seventh.
And Trevor Sandoval coming in 23rd. So definitely a deep field for this particular event. Brad Chester was able to take it on top, featuring his Raptor list going undefeated. So did Ryan Snyder. The only problem with Brad's list, he didn't upload it. So let's take a look at Ryan's. So Ryan comes in with a Spearhead detachment featuring Warrior. He's got Shield Captain on Dawn Eagle bike. And then he's got, he named all his units. That's why I'm kind of stumbling here. I'm like, what is that? Never heard of an Ares gunship. Oh, it's the name of the gunship. So he's got one gunship, Ares gunship, two Acrimus Heavy Blaze cannons on those, and the Magna Blaze cannon. He's got three Calidus Grav tanks, yay, twin Heavy Blaze cannons, and twin Lastrum bolts. Also nasty. And then he's got two Contemptor Achilles Dreadnoughts. One has the Golden Sentinel and two Lastrum Storm Bolters and Achilles Dreaded Spear. The other one has the Morning Lance, Lastrum Bolter, two something I can't pronounce, Destructors, and the Spear as well. And then to round it off, he's got an Outrider Detachment featuring the Bright Knight, with the Dawn of the Shield Captain, Dawn Eagle Jet Bike, and an Interceptor Lance. And not one, not two, but three Palace Grav Tanks. Grav Tanks, so between Archimus Blaze Cannons. Boy, I butchered that list. Sorry about that, guys. Like, he literally named every unit. So that's like old school. That used to be a thing. Like, you got points for that. But your soft scores. So that was pretty cool. So nice to see. Yeah, good old Adeptus Custodes making a return. So they had a good run. And that would be all the news from this week when it comes to tournament report. So after the break, we will get back to your ITC Top 10 as well as next week's events. Be back right after this. Does your game day fare leave your fingers orange or your game table pizza stained? There is a better option. You need the Necronom Nom Nom. Yes, that's right. The cosmic horror and great cuisine become allies of convenience with this darkly humorous, gorgeously illustrated, and simple-to-use guide to insanely good food. 50 recipes arm you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner from drinks to dessert and use a unique grimoire of forbidden recipes. Don't tell the Inquisition, but you can tell your friends to find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Brought to you by the madmen of Red Duke Games, take the pizza shop off speed dial and treat your players to something new and delicious from the Necronom Nom Nom. All right. Welcome back after the break. Your top 10 looks something like this here in the ITC with just a few weeks to go into this final big extravaganza to end the season. In 10th place, well, he snuck up over the holidays. Steven Pamprine comes to the 10th slot with 1,083 points. 9th place, Brian Poulin with 1,084 points. Chris Blackham enjoys a 13-point lead and hold on to 8th spot. TG Lanigan holds down the 7th spot. From England, Manny Chima in 6th place. From Florida, John Lennon holds down the 5th spot. From originally New Jersey, but apparently he's relocating to Florida and starting a whole bunch of content production with a whole bunch of the other players from Florida, is Nick Nadavati in 4th place. Nick Rose holds down the 3rd spot. Richard Siegler, the Mr. Rogers who plays Tau, in 2nd place. And in 1st place, still holding on there, is Jim Vessel, the Canadian Conqueror, with 1,193 points for the top spot in the ITC. So, Ray, this next few weeks, we're going to see those like moths to a flame, those people desperate for a few extra points and practice for the end of the season. What events do we have next week?
All right, we've got the Wizards Comics 40K tournament at Wizards Comics Sherwood in Sherwood Park, Alberta. The Critical Hit Gaming Lounge 40K GT LVO Prep at Critical Hit Gaming Lounge in Courtice, Ontario.
Should have said before you started reading this, you should have done that. What's the over under and how many events have the word LVO Prep in their name?
I didn't think of
that. You guys can play it along at home. All right, keep going. Sorry about that.
All right, next after that is ARC 40K at Malvern Town Hall in Malvern,
Victoria.
Then the Tabletop Empires CanCon Drillings at Tabletop Empires Store in North Rocks, New South Wales. The where'd it go? There we go. Aberdeen LVO Warm-Up GT 2020 at Warbird Battle Labs in Aberdeen, Washington. New Year's Knockout GT at the Geekery in Shawnee, Kansas. Here we go again, lads. 40K 2019 Championship at Campus Cards and Games 2 in Winter Park, Florida. Golden Sprue Cup GT 40K at Melvin Rhodes American Legion in Rensselaer, New York. That's it.
All right. Quite a widespread of geography, too. Got, you know, everything from the freezing cold of Rensselaer, New York, to warm, sunny Australia. That's pretty cool. All right. So any additional breaking news? We've been very active on our Facebook page the last few days. So definitely check in on that for any additional breaking news between now and our next episode. Start off the new year. Hop on over to iTunes and give us a like. Haven't asked for that in quite some time. So we're going to start off 2020 with a generous request. If you could like us, it'd be wonderful. We get this closer to the top of the food chain when it comes to podcast feeds. In the meantime, check us out on, as mentioned, our Facebook page, as well as our individual website. Last but not least, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.